in a business sense, I'm very like my dad. So I think that that's where the drive comes from. That's where the business sense comes from. And the loyalty, he's all of those things. But I think my mom is super open to a ton of people and also extremely passionate.
Christina McGinnis is a 24-year-old entrepreneur with an impressive level of passion and drive. Her business mindset is fierce and her loyalty to her clients is incredible. Welcome to The Safe Haven. I'm your host, Amanda Lytle. The Safe Haven offers a collection of conversations about life's challenges and the pivots we make in order to keep moving forward. Diagnosed with dyslexia, she was able to understand how she interpreted and understood things differently from those around her, and then used that as a tool to push ahead in the business world. Her tenacity and resilience in the role as an entrepreneur and a leader has helped her grow leaps and bounds through this global pandemic. Balancing traits from both her mom and her dad, she's goal-oriented, super organized, driven, kind, and open-minded. I asked Christina to start us off today by picking one of her biggest and most recent life pivots.
Ooh, okay, so biggest life pivot for me was before I graduated, I knew that I was not going to continue running a business that I was running through my last year of college. And I was so excited. And we had done amazing things. We were about ready to get like featured in Cosmo. And there was a lot of huge things happening for the company. And there was just something in me. And I have to say, the person that I was dating at the time ended up kind of guiding me to making that decision. So I'm so thankful for him and like our relationship at that time. But I knew me and my business partner had just very different goals moving forward of what we wanted the business to look like. And it became, I knew where I wanted to profit and where we could profit. And she already had a full-time job and wasn't going to leave that full-time job. So that to me was like, okay, either I can take a step back from this or I need to close it. And at capacity, I was like, I know what my life is going to look like. I know what I want it to look like. And that meant moving. And for me to be able to move, I wouldn't have been able to keep the business. So I ended up closing it. We closed the business. And that was actually, at first, it was very awkward. And people don't tell you this when you close a business with your best friend or any business partner. For a little while afterwards, you have an awkward phase because you're so used to diving into the business full time that when you're talking, you're like, oh, wow, you know, there isn't, we were talking 3 to 5 times a day. And so, and now I talk probably every other week and we just catch up, but you're not in that moment to moment. You're not working together all the time and your goals aren't fully aligned on the same street. So I think that was the best thing that I could have done. So I closed that business in December 2019 and opened a new business that was pretty parallel, just without a few aspects of what we were doing. And I mean, our sales of that first year when we had our business were nowhere near to what I wanted. And now, like within the last year, now I've had a multiple six-figure company because I took that step back and went at it alone.
Okay, I need to ask, what was the business that you had to close in December 2019?
So we did essentially influencer relations. So we had events, we had courses, we had clients. And I knew the way that I wanted to do things. We had like 200 person events where we'd bring in all these major brands and have activations and have speakers that flew in. And it was amazing. And I poured my heart and soul into it. But I realized, honestly, you are not in the event space like for throwing influencer events to make money. You just won't. There's not enough. Number one, influencers a lot of the times do not want to pay for certain things. And two, unless you are getting paid by the brands, you're not making enough to cover. So, I mean, we would break even on events, but you would spend all of that time. And for me to be able to go, okay, I'm going to make a full-time income on this, that was not happening. So I ended up, the business that I have now is called KCM Connect. And we do digital marketing, SEO, SEM, social media management, branding, logos. And so I knew that that was the realm that I wanted to be in and less of the events. So we ended up getting rid of all of that. And now I have the new company.
So diving into 2020 with your own business, shortly thereafter, you hit COVID-19. What does that look like?
What was so interesting was the fact that I went in with, so pretty much what we had said was when we were closing the company, we were also closing off the clients. So I did not take any of the clients that we had had from that previous business. So I was starting completely from scratch. And I remember I would just graduated. So in December, closed the business, opened a new business, and graduated all in the same month. I was like, all right, what exactly am I going to do here? So I had one client, which was like $1,000 a month. I was still living with my parents, and my parents, I believe, were charging me $600 a month rent. So I was really like, wow, I have a whole $400. And I knew, I was like, I need us to hit like multiple six figures this year. Like I won't take anything less. And so I just went pedal to the metal, which was asking friends and family, doing a lot of free work, hunting down the clients I wanted and pitching them. What's very interesting is in the digital marketing space, it was a lot easier to find people because everyone in COVID realized, wow, it is so important for me to have an updated website. Wow, it is so important for me to have an online presence. So I barely, except for in the beginning to get the first few clients, after that, we almost did no marketing, and yet we're a marketing company, and had over 100 clients in the first year, which was last year. Mm-hmm. It was pretty crazy to go from one client to 100 in a very short period of time. But I was also working eight out of 7 days a week.
I was eight?
Literally, I was working enough for like 12 people. I did not stop working. I did not take a day off for 8 months.
Where does this drive and this business mindset come from? How old are you?
24.
Okay. So where does this business mindset come from? Like, you are at it.
I would say definitely, I think for me, it's very environmental. So mm-hmm. my parents, 100%, and how I was raised and how I grew up. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think that you have, we've chatted about this before, I'm dyslexic. And so I think with, you know, a splash of a disability, those are kind of like the perfect recipe for me to want to push myself further, because I've always felt like I wasn't ahead. I always felt behind from everyone else. And so I would say my parents, 100%. My dad is a serial entrepreneur. And so I've been grown around starting different businesses and different, you know, proposals and things that he's thinking about and things that he's pushing ahead. And my mom has a nonprofit. So I'm actually on the board for her nonprofit. And so they're both very business minded. So I think I have a lot of them in like what I do right now.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to balancing this within your first year, you're not balancing 100 clients yourself, are you?
So pretty much what I had to do was little by little take on freelancers. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to need someone to help me here. I still do all the day-to-day operations, but now we have 7 people on the web team. So I have a person who leads everybody who does all of our web stuff. So whether that's SEO, SEM, Google My Business, any kind of web design. So we have him. And then I have 2 people who do our graphic design. And then we have a set of social media managers just for various things. You know, some of them specialize in LinkedIn, but all of them are under like our tree. So at first it was me, and I ran 15 social media profiles by myself. So 15 Instagrams and Facebooks, as well as my personal stuff, which is I'm a content creator as well, and I have a podcast. So I was running all of those up until the point where like everyone, including my friends and family, were like, you need help. So from that point forward, that's when I started looking into the freelancer route, and all of them, yeah, now all of them are under like our digital agency tree.
Having done enough social media stuff on my own, that for even one small teeny weeny cute little account is a full-time job. So I cannot imagine you doing all of that by yourself.
It was a lot.
Oh, how do you look after yourself during that?
Oh, I didn't at all. Like, that was definitely, I just went balls to the wall in the sense of like, I was like, I want to hit these goals. I have these numbers I want to hit. And So I just did it. And it just felt very rinse and repeat, which is nice when it comes to processes because you find out very quickly what is going to work and what is not going to work. So I would just time block every single day. I would, you know, set aside 2 hours in the morning to post all the accounts' Instagram stories. And then I would batch a day, you know, a week to have all those Instagram stories made and have them pre-planned and pre-done. And I would schedule everyone's feed the month out and make sure that they were approved and set and all the graphics were done. So it was very like, when I look back at it, I was like, how did I do that? But also it's very good to be on all aspects of everything. Cause I have my hands in every single thing that we do, but I'm just able to delegate more, which makes my life a lot easier now. That was a thing going into 2021. I was like, I have to like make sure that I'm delegating and have enough space for everything. Now I have essentially days. So Mondays are my podcasting day. So I'll like collaborate with other podcasters, do podcast swaps. That's when I do all my recording. That's when we talk with everyone for podcasting. That's my assistant who now helps with the podcast. And then Tuesdays, I have agency, pretty much the agency stuff ebbs and flows every single day. But Tuesday, I work on my business. And so I'll look at our processes, what's working, what's not working. That's a great day. I check in, you know, with my clients almost daily. So we have, you know, Slack is the most amazing tool in the entire world. I think texting anytime that you have that many clients is not a good thing. You'll end up overwhelmed, swarmed. So Slack we use, and now I have like a good team that I feel very like confident in, which helps me immensely. And then Wednesdays, because I am a blogger and content creator, I solely try to focus on dealing with my management for our brand collabs or different content that we're creating. And then Thursdays and Fridays into Saturday and Sundays is pretty much just backtrack work or things that overflow.
Mm-hmm. What does big scale look like here? Like big scale, I recognize that you are already running after this year. So what does the top look like?
I think the top looks different for everybody. I think in my life, what the top looks like at this point in time for like the next few months, I know for a fact that like for me, I was like, all right, I live in LA, but I also need an office. So office is coming. Podcast set, which is awesome. We're setting up now. So there's like certain things like that. The tippy top of the top, that's such an interesting idea because in my head before COVID, I did used to think that needed to be like an actual space. And now I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that like for me, I want to have by the end of this year, like my goal is to have an operations manager, which I think is pretty good, but I want someone who's I'm a very like creative. I want to have like someone who's my perfect counterpart, who's more analytical so that we can kind of not debate, but someone who is like complete opposite than me that can see all of where I'm misstepping. So that would be, you know, end of the year things. Top of the top, I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I think my goals change pretty rapidly of where I want to go. Money aspects, I know where I want to hit. But I think what my life looks like is probably, I don't know yet. I think that I've thought in a lot of different areas, like whether I would want to, you know, start off by the time that I'm 30 having a house versus buying a whole bunch of apartment complexes and living in an apartment, you know, and putting my money more towards real estate. There's a lot of other things that like I've thought of doing. I think it just depends. I mean, there's a lot that depends, you know, the pandemic has shown me too, like you have to think on your feet pretty quickly and things can change. So you have to also be super adaptable to that change. And that's why I think it's great for me right now to plan a year out, a year to 2 years, and then, you know, have ideas and goals that are farther out. But if those change, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. I love that you just brought up COVID again, because I was going to ask you about your biggest COVID lesson. What is something that working through this pandemic has taught you?
Oh, gosh, there's so much.
Yeah.
I think to give others grace, I think is one of the biggest things that you can do. And also hold yourself, like, I think there's a very fine line between like self-care and self-sabotage. A lot of times people, like especially with the self-care realm and everyone's throwing that word around, which is great, but I think there's a lot of things that, and I've heard from people how like they're using like the self-care idea to then just not do things. Oh, well, it's self-care to give myself a day off, and it's self-care to do this, that, and the other thing. And I actually feel like it's made a lot of people in a way lazy because they're using it as an excuse. So I think noticing that in myself, like, is this self-care or am I sabotaging myself by not staying on my goals and just giving myself, you know, am I being lazy essentially? So I think that's something that has really taught me is being more, I don't know, inquisitive of like my behavior and what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So like, what is my point behind this? Where am I going with this? And if it's not going toward the goals that I've set in the next year to 2 years, why am I doing it?
Okay. And with your goals, you just mentioned goals again, which is awesome because I was going to ask about accountability. So how often do you check in with your goals and how do you hold yourself accountable?
I would say monthly. I set out my weeks like ahead of time. So I'll set like Sundays, but most of the time my weeks are planned about a week to 2 weeks. And then I have a spreadsheet actually where I'll check things off. So I have my workouts, for example, are literally in a spreadsheet and I will write and check off like what I've done for that day and like my expectations of myself. And then I also have it in a book too, to just track my water and track, you know, my steps and other things. Cause I think it's so good to be able to look back and go, wow, I walked 70,000 steps this week. You know, I drank this much water. I lost this much weight, whatever it is. And you go, wow, it's good for you to like look back at the weeks. But I think Excel is great. I think having an accountability buddy is great, which I do have. Someone who's in a completely different field as me, but it's so great to be able to bounce ideas off of them and tell them where I'm at. That's something for me that's super helpful. And then I'll do monthly check-ins to be like, okay, where are we at from last month? What's working? What's not working? Is there something we need to cut? Trello is also a great, great, great resource if you guys need something to essentially schedule yourself, but also things for team members to be able to delegate to them and to write your goals in.
How do you spell that?
T-R-E-L-L-O. And it's so, I freaking love it. That's how I set up. I use like Google Calendar for meetings and such, but for Trello, I'll write in like Monday and I'll put a whole bunch of tasks. And if I don't get that done, then I'll slide it over to the next day.
Interesting. I've never heard of that. And I know that when it even comes to goals, I've had so many wonderful conversations about goals and goal setting and how for some people that is how they work and other people cannot set goals because it just doesn't align with their life or the lifestyle that they're creating. So it's really interesting to kind of pick apart someone's brain a little bit and just say, you know, how does this work for you? And I was super curious, like I just wrote this down because I'm curious about what your answer is going to be because you're so goal oriented and you're just full of fire and passion. So describe yourself in 3 words.
Oh, I would say I'm super open. I would say I'm a pretty like non-judgmental person. And I'm open to all different ideas and walks of life and everything that everyone has to say. Cause I think the more knowledge you can get, the better. So I would say I'm open. I would say I'm extremely loyal. That is like one of my best and my worst traits is I will be so loyal to someone and give them so much time, energy, nourishment, whatever they need up until they screw me over. And they have to screw me over probably twice. And then I'm done with them for probably life. So I would say open, loyal, and I would say passionate. If there's a project or a client or something that I have a lot of passion over, that's what sparks like my creative juices. So I think I'm a pretty passionate person.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when you look at an energy shift between masculine and feminine energies, open, loyal, and passionate are quite feminine characteristics. But a lot of how you lead your life is super masculine. When you look at the drive that you have, it's rare.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I would say that was honestly probably, I actually had someone on my podcast and we dove into why you are the way you are and how it's from your parents. Either you're exactly like them or you're the exact opposite of them. And they had me go through like a list of my parents from my dad and my mom. And it was super interesting. In a business sense, I'm very like my dad. So I think that that's where the drive comes from. That's where the business sense comes from. And the loyalty, he's all of those things. But I think my mom is super open to a ton of people and also extremely passionate. So it's funny that I think I've got good and bad of both of them. But I can 100% see once I'd made that list of my parents, I could totally see where I get so many of my traits from.
Oh, I love it. I think it's really fascinating, to be honest. I have my three safe haven style questions for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
What are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of how I treat people. I think that there's a lot of times that people can be extremely jaded from their life and what has been dealt to them. And I think there's like two ways of being able to go about things. And I would say I always give people the benefit of the doubt and I am always nice. Even when people are awful to me, like one thing that has been nice from middle school, like even when girls were rude or things like that, I just was like, all right, you have to be like the nicer person in the situation because you are never going to be mad at yourself for being nice to someone else or caring or giving. Those are never something that you're going to regret.
What would you like to be known for?
I think I want to be known as someone who didn't necessarily fit the mold of everyone else's expectations. I think a lot of people wanted me to do certain things or didn't necessarily like a podcaster, an influencer, and, you know, have a marketing agency was not everyone else's expectation of me. And I got a lot of flack for doing it, for podcasting when I first started. I got a lot of flack for doing influencer and creative stuff in college. And I think just to be someone who beats to her own damn drum, like I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to do me and be me for me. And I don't want to fit the mold of society's expectations.
That makes me think or circle back to, you know, when you look at dyslexia and what you were able to accomplish. So when we chatted pre-recording about your abilities to jump into schooling and figure out how you can use that and continue and chase your educational goals, I think that's so admirable. Can you actually elaborate a bit on that as to how you were able to get into and do all of this college route stuff?
Yeah. So what happened, I was super, super sick when I was younger, had strep throat and lost a lot of like great years for learning, for like first to second grade, which is primarily when people like learn, you know, how to read, get a lot of different skills. I was super sick up until I had my tonsils taken out. And so I had a reading teacher for about 2 years. And my parents had noticed, because it is hereditary dyslexia. A lot of times people can get it randomly, but a lot of times it is hereditary and mine is, from a family member. And so I remember wondering when I was even younger, like why I wasn't like everyone else, because I was like, why can everyone just go through this like a breeze? Like they're able to get through this so quickly, so easily. Like, why am I not like that? And I would have to work twice as hard at everything just to get the same result. And I remember just like struggling and struggling, but I also, that was my normal. You can see other people, but you're like, this is what it's just like for me. And up until high school, I was pretty good at grades. I always got pretty good grades. I was in a Spanish class and my Spanish teacher actually asked me to stay after class. And I was like, oh shit. Anytime that a teacher is asking you to stay after class, things are not good. So I was like, I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened. And she was like, I would bet $1,000 that you're dyslexic. And I was like, what do you mean? Why? And she's like, I genuinely think that you should go get tested because you have all of the same traits as me. And I like looked at her and I was very like, I didn't understand it. Really? Like you think that? And she's like, is there anyone in your family who's dyslexic? And I was like, yes, there is. And she's like, the way that you process information is different than the rest of the class. Have you noticed that? And I like was like, yes. Cause for a lot of things in her class, we would write down the answer as soon as we knew it. And she goes, you write it twice as quick as everyone else. And she was like, and you're right most of the time. And she's like, the questions that you ask are very different than everyone. And she just kind of went into different instances where I was like, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. So she was the reason that I actually went and got tested. And I went to a private school. So it was interesting, but this was my senior year, right before I'm going into college. And I went and got tested and they're like, wow, you were actually severely dyslexic. We have no idea how you have gotten to this point. And I was just kind of, I don't know what the right word is. It was like almost a sense of relief. That may sound awful, but because I had always known like thought processes that I was different than the other kids that I had grown up with, or I had to work twice as hard to get the exact same thing. So that was like, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, this is actually in my brain. That makes a lot of sense. And from that point, they were like, unless you, because high school is very different than college, my parents were extremely worried about sending me off to college. They were like, we don't know how you're going to perform. This is a completely different arena, especially in the sense of like, I feel like college was a lot more fast paced than high school was. And you get so much more information at such a large scale. And my teacher said, unless you're able to get some type of assistance, you are going to struggle. That's what she had told me about herself. So she was like, try to get assistance. And I applied. I ended up getting assistance. So I actually had note takers. If anyone's in the same boat, you can 100% ask your college for different services. So I had a note taker in classes because I'm someone, if I was in a room and someone's telling a story and it's interactive, I will remember that for years. But if you stick a book in front of me and want me to highlight all, you know, the certain words that we need, that's not going to work for me. So they actually gave me note takers in classes, which was awesome because I was able to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And then I got extra time on tests and I shortly realized that that wasn't enough. So with some of like the most amazing teachers, I would actually ask them to read me the test. And I had this one teacher, it was business law, and I will never forget this. He's like one of the most amazing humans. I was really struggling because business law, that is all very textbook. Like you're just reciting what essentially is in the textbook. And that just would not work for me. And I tried and tried and tried. And he's like, you are getting very, like, I was getting shitty grades. And he's like, you know the information. So I went into his office and would study. And he would just ask me like questions and he'd be like, remember this from class or what was I talking about when we did X, Y, Z? And I'd be able to tell him and I would ace those tests. So I think, you know, to not give up would be a huge thing that I would tell people is like, there's always room for you to grow, but also ask, like, especially college or different areas in school. Like if you ask the teacher, and I started to ask my teachers from that point, will you just read me the tests? Because that would help me so much more. And you'd be surprised like how willing they are to help you if you just ask them for the extra time or that extra thing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Great info. Thank you. I could go on a tangent about that even too, just being an educator myself. But good for you for advocating for yourself, because I know that that in itself is really difficult to do at times. And depending on the situation that you're in or the rapport that you have with an educator itself, like that can really influence how you speak up or even if you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally. Well, and too, like depending on your class sizes and whatever that is. But I've noticed that like trails onto a lot of things. Like I think those, like you asking the hard question or the uncomfortable question or the awkward question in front of 200 people in a classroom, like sometimes that can be super intimidating. But I feel like I've been able to do that in so many other aspects of my life because I started doing that so young. So like I'm able to ask at a conference or able to, you know, message people and be like, hey, how did you do this? Or can I hop on a call with you? I'd love to network with you. Like that almost fearlessly reach out to people, I think is like a really, it's a hard trait and like quality and like thing to learn. But once you do, you're so much better at doing it. And it's just like a muscle that you have to keep working. Mm-hmm. Because that can help you a lot in business too, for collaboration or, you know, if you're getting into a different space and you're looking for a mentor or looking to shadow someone, there's so many different things that now you can kind of use it for.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually segues really well into the last safe haven style question, because I feel like you have a bunch of messages. But if you left the listeners with one message, what would it be?
I would say, I think my biggest thing is like, I say all the time is hit the fuck it button. And that's something that I've repeated through my life for the past years. And that pretty much means like, just go for it. There is nothing that I have done that I have regretted after I've gone for it. Never. Even like closing the business, I had to hit the fuck it button to start it as well as end it. But that was such a pivotal point in my life into what I'm doing now. And I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now if I didn't have that experience. And my friend got me this little button. It's on Amazon and it is so cute. I'll have to send you the link to it. But it literally says fuck it on it. And I hit it before any big decision that I had, because it's I don't know. It's like a symbol of like, just no matter what fear you have, everyone has fear. If anyone said that they don't, like, I think that that's crazy. I think everyone's scared. But for me, I think it's just that first step is the hardest. That first workout, that first business, that first proposal, whatever it is, that first one is the hardest. And then little by little, they get easier. Doesn't mean you get less scared, but I think you just learn a lot more. So I would say to hit the fuck it button and go after what you want, because no one else is, it's not going to fall in your lap and it's not going to be given to you. So like, you have to go for it.
I love that. I think I need this button.
You do need the button. It's pretty funny.
That's amazing. Where can people find you on socials?
Okay, so this is the longest Instagram handle known to man. So it's Christina Catherine McGinnis. And then my podcast is the Bottled Blonde Podcast, where we talk booze, boys, business, and beauty. My website is christinamcginnis.com, where you can read about the podcast, the agency, my personal blog, and then also the agency Instagram is KCM Connect.
Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Christina, thank you so much for joining me on The Safe Haven. You have left me and the listeners with a lot to think about. I can't wait to see what's next. To everyone listening, I recognize the privilege that comes with my platform, and I am committed to creating a safe, brave, and inclusive space with intention. If this episode has hit you right in the heart or inspired you in any way, please screenshot the screen while you're listening, send it to your friends, and share it in your Instagram stories. Please be sure to tag us at The Safe Haven Podcast so we can personally thank you for it. If you're able to write a review or leave a juicy 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, that really helps this podcast grow. For more great podcasts, check out frequencypodcastnetwork.com, and I will talk to you next week.